This is Great FM.
The month of June means many things to many people. If you're listening to our podcast from Bangalore, it's finally the month that reminds you why this city's weather is enviable after a scorching summer. We're finally experiencing some of that Bangalore weather. But if you're a resident of this world, by and large, right, June is the month that encourages you, each and every one of us, to participate in conversations around pride, inclusion, diversity, equity, and belongingness. Welcome to Great FM, everyone. Ahalya here, bringing you another conversation in our podcast series. But before I go any further, I want to be a little bit self-aware. You know, I want to acknowledge that we are doing what everyone's kind of doing, having a conversation around pride during Pride Month. And Pride inclusion, like most important observances, should be an all year round priority. It's just that this is a month that allows us all to stop and reflect and spotlight Pride inclusion. So we're going to do just that. We can't miss the chance to have a conversation. And hopefully, you know, we do it in an impactful manner. We recently hit the milestone of 2 lakh listens on the podcast. And when you have a conversation about best practices in Pride inclusion lined up, it feels like, you know, a good opportunity to really spark conversation and get all of you HR professionals out there who have also become loyal listeners of the series to think a little bit more deeply about, you know, our own contributions to Pride inclusivity in our respective workplaces and on a very individual level as well. So let's bring in Preeti Ahuja, human resource leader at Atlas Copco, who brings not just her 17 plus years of experience in people management, but also a special focus on diversity and inclusion goals at her current organization. Welcome, Preeti. It's a pleasure to have you on Great FM, and I'm very excited to really get your insights.
Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be here, and also happy Pride Month to everyone.
Yes, absolutely. A wonderful note to start on. And we're going to actually start with some unfortunate statistics. Now, this is a statistic from Forbes India, and it says, I quote, "Studies show that 42% of LGBTQIA+ employees experience discrimination based on their sexual orientation, and 90% of transgender respondents experience harassment or mistreatment. A recent investigation revealed that 34.2% of queer employees have resigned due to discriminatory treatment." Like I said, a very, very unfortunate, stark statistic that tells us, right, what we're actually dealing with here. And as a people manager, Preeti, I guess my question to you is, what do statistics like this tell you about the biggest challenges in Pride inclusivity? You know, I think it's a good starting point for us to probably guide our conversation today.
Thank you so much for bringing this stats, and we have to sometime accept this reality as well. Mm-hmm. So before I move into LGBT inclusion and talk more about what we can do, but definitely let also deep dive into understanding whether we have currently the awareness of diversity, equity, inclusion, or how we can create a fostering culture within the organization. So what I have seen so far, it's like one of the main challenge when it comes to fostering a culture of belonging mm-hmm. and inclusion is the lack of awareness and understanding of the different perspectives and people bringing different experiences and need of employee from different backgrounds, identities and cultures. And that is like first step when we talk about even inclusion and belonging. Mm-hmm. Let's first understand what everyone bring on the table. So in one of my previous organization, we used to hire from LGBT community. But what happened, like mm-hmm. even if we hire someone from the community, it is difficult to ensure that they won't face slight or passive forms of discrimination. So what we are now doing, we are trying to take up inclusivity sessions and awareness workshops. And I think more than policies, we need more of implementation and execution in the organization. So like many people fear such a disclosure might negatively impact their careers and cause discrimination against them. And that is the reason people are not coming out. Also, they are afraid their professional relationships will be affected. While coming out is obviously optional and a deeply personal decision, mm-hmm. LGBT plus employees often feel the need to cover their sexual orientation. And such covering behaviors could include altering their behavior, changing their physical appearances, or avoiding disclosing any information about their personal lives. As you have given the stats, and it is completely aligning that why they are not feeling or have the belonging and inclusive in the organizations. So now many organizations are actively focusing on driving awareness through employee groups, bringing about changes in physical infrastructure, introducing equitable policies, and running workshops for managers. And there are several key factors within and outside the organization that need to be strengthened to enable LGBT plus inclusion. And when we look at it is from an external perspective, further changes in legislation also, and even focus on education, because it starts from your awareness and education, and awareness on the subject within the large community would help in furthering the inclusion agenda. It involves transitioning from fundamental table stake aspects to building a truly collaborative and inclusive culture within the organization. And that will be your first step to have a inclusiveness for all the communities.
So, Preeti, that was an interesting point you just brought up about going from thoughts and ideas to tangible examples. Let's maybe, dive deeper into that aspect of things. In your experience, have you come across, a company's pride inclusivity efforts that were effective and that inspired real change? I think it would be very helpful to contextualize the conversation with something like that, for our listeners to hold on to.
Yeah, definitely. Like as we spoke about what are the challenges the community is facing, and then organizations definitely are taking already steps to come up with the inclusive policies. Several of the largest companies have invested in policies and initiatives to create a more inclusive workplace. And I'll just give you a few again facts and stats here that according to the Human Rights Campaign Equality Index, 93% of Fortune 500 companies have included sexual orientation language in their non-discrimination policies. So that is like, I think at least most of the companies are taking a very proactive and thoughtfulness steps now to bring the inclusivity. So again, it is through like education and awareness are also the routes to create an ecosystem of acceptance. So like what we have like imbibed here is the gender neutral policies pertaining to language, dress code, and even washrooms. So our belief is that the only way to become true allies to the community is to lead by example. So we have multiple, I'll say, platform within the organization. So one is Speak Up as a platform, a confidential and anonymous channel to report misbehavior of any kind, including discrimination or harassment due to sexual orientation. So where again we are creating a safe space for people to come out and share if they want to have any kind of experience. Then again, what second, we have started using pronouns at work can be a way to make people, particularly transgender employees, feel more comfortable and included. So there are like, I'll say, few steps already been taken, and we are in this journey because it's just a long way to go. So with this, we are moving ahead and bringing some inclusivity and trying to ensure that everyone is respected in the culture.
Absolutely. And I think it is so much about that policy level change as well, right? When you talk about something like pride inclusivity, because it allows a very tangible space for people to take action, both allies as well as members in the community, like, hey, this policy exists and the company's got my back. So I think that's a very important point that you brought up there. Often on the podcast, Preeti, if I can just pivot a little bit, we've spoken about feedback mechanisms in many different contexts, right? Whether it's performance management systems, internal communications, learning and development, feedback from the very people that we are creating policies for is so important because no one knows what they need better than themselves, right? So, what does a robust feedback mechanism for LGBTQIA plus members look like at a workplace so that they have a space to communicate gaps, areas of improvement? Do you think it needs to be like a separate network and setup and space, or is this something you've seen best integrated into a common space?
So I'll start with like when we have diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging policies and processes in place. So we ensure that we build on our culture principles to create a workplace where every employee feels valued and supported for the diverse perspectives. Now coming to the LGBTQIA plus community. So within an organization, we have employee resource group, which is specialized community with the mission of providing support and empowerment to the community employees. And these groups are established with the goal of cultivating a secure and inclusive space where the community individuals can connect, exchange stories, and champion equality in the professional sphere. So our main goal here is to operationalize the company vision for diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging by increasing representation, building equitable infrastructures, fostering a culture of psychological safety, and deploying programs that enable a highly engaged and optimally performing globally distributed workforce. So it is must to conduct employee satisfaction policies to create and raise awareness about the LGBTQIA community and the unique challenges they face. And this will help break the stigma stemming from preconceived notion and misinformation, creating a safe space for people from the community. So, for example, encouraging the use of gender-neutral language is a great way to reflect the inclusive and diverse culture at an organization. So there are multiple ways through which we can initiate and create a safe space for them so they can feel comfortable and share their feedback and raise their voice as well.
No, that's very, very valuable. But you know, how does someone like you come into this in a very effective way, Preeti? Because I'm sure it's a big part of your work on a day-to-day basis, right? As a leader, really, to show up for everyone in the workforce, especially a people manager like yourself. How do you kind of ensure that people feel comfortable enough to speak up when something doesn't feel quite right? A safe space, again, like we've discussed on the series, is one of those core tenets, right, for Pride inclusivity.
Again, I'll say, first thing is when you have a gender neutral policies, when you treat everyone equally, there will be no difference of the different community. I'll just go back to the now background of it, because sometimes what happened, a lot of people are not even knowing background of Pride Month celebration and why we do, and then we talk more about policies and all. So here what happened, anyways, today Pride events happen globally and they are seen as an opportunity to celebrate and protest. During this month of June, you will indeed see a lot of rainbow flags, which has become symbolic of the pride movement. Even though I'm coming from manufacturing organization, and still we also celebrate and we are creating a lot of awareness and sensitization programs within the organization. So our leaders, I'll say senior leadership team to our people, they have that kind of understanding and sensitization. But here, the background also has to be clear that the different colors within the flag were meant to represent togetherness, and rainbows are both natural and beautiful. The original flag featured 8 colors, each having a different meaning. At the top was hot pink, which represented sex, red for life, orange for healing, yellow signifying sunlight, green for nature, aqua to represent art, indigo for harmony, and finally violet at the bottom for spirit. So first thing is sometimes we have to make people understand the terminology, the language, and the background. And next comes the most important element of cultivating inclusivity is creating a sense of belonging. When employees direct day-to-day experiences and perceptions of organization culture are positive, employees will feel included.
No, absolutely. Thank you also, you know, for bringing up that context of Pride Month. You're right. Many a times we do forget why we started this movement in the first place. And I think my final question to you, Preeti, in today's conversation, like I said, the idea of tokenism. Now, everyone is always having conversations about Pride, especially during Pride Month. Some of those conversations are impactful. Some of them are done just for the sake of it, right? Like a tick mark. What is your take on that, you know, on tokenism? Maybe let's end the podcast with some tangible tips from you as a leader, as someone who has managed people in workplaces for so long, how to not do pride inclusivity. What are the different practices that are just those mandates and they don't actually lend to inclusivity in your experience?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for bringing this question, because again, it will create a lot of awareness to our listeners about the topic. Tokenism can have detrimental effects on employees from underserved groups, because it causes minority employees to begin to believe that they aren't actually talented or qualified, that they got the job because they were a diverse candidate. And token employees are often the only person like them in a room, causing performance anxiety or pressure. So when it comes to token women and racial minorities, they are more likely to experience harassment or discrimination when compared to the same underrepresented groups in more inclusive and balanced working environments. So tokenism affects the entire company culture. If other employees are seeing tokenism happening within their organizations, it may be difficult for them to stay and build trust with the company. As an organization, have to take a step here that organization have to make an inclusion of underrepresented groups at the core of their business strategies, stating with strong leadership commitment. And in the idea of reaching out to diverse talent and hiring effectively, the larger goal is for an organization to ensure that they are building a workplace where anyone can contribute positively, build a thriving career for themselves, and contribute to the organization. And here, policies plays a very critical role. So the company policies need to consider the needs and preferences of the diversity or minority employees so that the employment becomes meaningful for them. For example, inclusion of dependents of LGBTQ plus employees in insurance policies, parental leave, inclusion of benefits like gender reassignment surgeries in insurance benefits are some of examples. And most of the companies now adopted these policies and providing this as a benefits. So diversity is not just a tick in the box. It's an all hands on deck effort.
I love that. And thank you for those little HR references as well, you know. And, you know, thank you so much for all of your insights, really, Preeti. It's been such a pleasure having you on air to be able to discuss matters of great importance, right? And I think we've all experienced this on an intentional level or on an unintentional level. But when one's workforce is more diverse, you know, there are so many more ideas that come to the table when people feel safe, they feel happy coming to work and a happy workforce. I think it's important that we had this conversation today. But before, you know, I let you go, we've started this new segment on Great FM called The Reading List. So because we're talking about pride inclusivity, are there a few books, Preeti, on diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging that, you know, you could sort of recommend to people as part of the segment? I'm sure they'll be noting them down.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you so much for bringing this question, because even when we are looking for resources, we get a lot of reading lists, and then we start following those list of books.
The Great FM Reading List. Not just good, get great with these books.
If you are interested in learning more about pride, a good place to start is Stonewall by Martin Duberman. The book illustrates basically through the lives of six activities and the events of 1969, the control leading up to them, and the first gay rights march of 1970. So it is more about knowing the history. Another one of the book I would suggest here, like The Conversation on Gender Diversity by Jules Jill Peterson. And again, here the book is talking about from contributors to the conversation, a look at gender diversity in the 21st century and the complex and intersecting challenges faced by trans and non-binary people. So I will, as of now, suggest two books.
Well, those are great suggestions, Preeti, and great insights that you've given us today. I can't thank you enough for joining us on this episode of Great FM. You know, we're ending Pride Month really with this podcast, but like we keep saying, you know, pride inclusivity is something that should be top of mind all year round, right? It's a lifelong effort to make sure that we are creating inclusive and diverse workplaces for every colleague. And that's why I think it's good that we're ending the month, because we're reminding you not to forget about it just because the month is over. Thank you so very much, Preeti, once again for being here. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Oh, it was lovely conversation, and I really enjoyed our conversation today. And thank you so much for having me, and happy Pride Month once again, everyone.
This is Great FM.